Well, this morning we're going to look at a topic that I've selected on grace and mercy of God. We don't merit anything ourselves. We can't do anything without God's grace and mercy. We are very fortunate to be in that relationship with God, that He will give us grace and mercy. So this morning we're going to look at a brief introduction. We're going to talk a little bit about grace, and then we're going to look at the mercy. The qualities of God's character by which He shows Himself compassionate, accepting, and generous to sinful human beings like you and I, shielding them from His wrath, forgiving them, and bestowing on them His righteousness so they can live and grow in faith and obedience. When we study the Old Testament, we can see time and time again how God shielded His people, children of Israel, when they fell short. God forgave them. And God's there for you and I today with His grace and mercy are particularly expressed through God's covenant with His chosen people, as we stated in the Old Testament, and through Jesus Christ's atoning death on the cross. This particular lesson will lead us right into our sermon today on two sides of the cross, where Jesus, He suffered for all humanity, you and I. And we who are obedient to His word, who follow His statutes, His commandments, we have a portion to live in ourselves. And it's through Jesus Christ, atoning death on the cross, that He allowed salvation for all of us. He gave us that opportunity for salvation. And it's up to you and I to live up to that by being obedient, by following His commandments, and by God's grace and mercy, He will give us eternal life. This morning I only have four questions to look at. And the first one is, how are God's grace and mercy made known by Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17? Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So we see that God's fullness we all receive, and grace upon grace, something that we don't merit, something that we can't earn, something that God freely gives all people. For the law of Moses couldn't provide this. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. His fullness the fullness, piorma, means that which is filled or total. It's the totality of God. It's everything that God is. It's everything that you and I are wanting to be with God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul shares with the saints in Colossians, he says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. God's fullness. That's what each and every one of us would like to share with him in eternal life. That's each and every one of us are striving to live a godly life, to live a life that is acceptable to God, and by his grace and mercy, he will grant that to you and I. In Jesus. In Jesus is all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All the abundance of God. In Jesus, and we look at his life through the Gospels, we examine the way he lived. We saw the example that he had given you and I by the life, by his relationships to individuals, by his teachings. And it's up to you and I to follow that. In Jesus, there is all wisdom. We know he got angry. He was upset, even with his disciples. But yet he nurtured them and brought them around. He was righteous. He lived a righteous life. He provides sanctification for you and I. But most of all, he provides us redemption. And this is all from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Paul shares with the saints at Corinth, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. What does that mean? Anyone? Chris?
That our salvation and our sanctification is all done through Jesus and no other way.
Exactly. Our salvation is dependent on the death of Jesus on the cross. And if you believe that, and you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for you and I, with that confession, you may have the opportunity for salvation. It's not a guarantee. Salvation is not a guarantee. It's a means that you and I have to be with God. And the only way you could be with God is follow his commandments. They're not hard. They're not difficult. There are means of the way God wants you to live. When we read the Pauline letters, we can see the instruction that through the Holy Spirit, Paul had written and shared the information from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you and I could have the tools necessary to be faithful, to be obedient, to be righteous. And Jesus gave us that wisdom when he was here on earth. Just imagine when he was here and he was teaching. There were people that were mesmerized by his teaching because he was so powerful. He was God. And he shared the information from God the Father so that people of the day had that information. They knew of God. They were taught through centuries of things that were handed down to them. But yet they missed Jesus because the attitude of people back then and the attitude of people today, they don't want to listen to God, which is very sad. And it's up to you and I to share the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, who gave his life for you and I. So in Christ, there's all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Also, in Christ, we are complete in him. All that Christ is, the very fullness of his being, is given to us who believe. All his love, his joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Where did we get that? Hey, Chris.
Isn't that characteristics of Christians? The characteristics of Christians?
The characteristics of Christians. We find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. Carol?
It's the other verse that you had. It's the wisdom of God that he gives us. And Christ was a great example of that.
Exactly. And by emulating Jesus in our lives, we can be faithful. We can be loyal. We can share with people the goodness. Someone had a question. Get it, Mom.
I was just thinking the only way we can have those things is to be in Christ.
Yes.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to demonstrate them in our lives because we wouldn't know how.
Exactly. And by having those qualities or Christian characteristics or virtues, it shows people in the world what a Christian is. Christ-like person. That's what a Christian is. One who follows Jesus. One who put self aside and emulate Jesus in their lives.
Manny?
Carol?
Yeah. One of the things when Bob was talking made me think that, you know, there are a lot of people who write books, earthly books on love and joy and peace and long suffering and stuff, but they don't believe in Christ. And although that helps them with this life here, it does not help them in the eternal life.
Mm-hmm. We have to be in Christ to receive that gift of eternal life. We have to put on Christ in our lives so that we could show others what a Christian about a follower of Jesus in all aspects, not just cherry pick the things that you like, not just come to services and say, I'm okay, but practice it 24/7 in your lives. And God's grace will give us that salvation. Grace and truth. God's grace and truth does not come by law, like the Mosaic law, but it comes through Christ Jesus. And it's up to you and I to live a faithful life, live a righteous life. And how do we do that? How do we live faithfully? Again.
Well, first I think we choose to, by the choosing to be obedient to Christ, and then we need to renew our minds, set the old, leave the old behind, and it takes work to create new habits and the new characteristics in the forefront of your mind, but it takes a lot of effort.
It takes a lot of effort. Very good. It takes work on our part. It takes us a journey that we travel in our lives today by studying, by applying God's word to our lives so that we could show them that we strive to be faithful. And it doesn't guarantee us eternal life, because we only receive eternal life through God's grace and mercy by a gift that he gives freely to you and I. So what is the result of God's grace?
Forgiveness and redemption. We get salvation that we don't deserve through Christ's blood. He died for us, and we aren't given the punishment we deserve.
Exactly. We deserve, because we're sinful people, we deserve a life away from God. You just go back to the Old Testament, and we see how the children of Israel, when they were faithful to God, everything was going great. But when they sinned and followed idols of all sorts of things, God turned his back on them. We as Christians today do not want to see that. Paul shared with Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Not just Christians, but to all men. All men and women have that opportunity for salvation through Christ Jesus. And it's up to the individual to work at it, to study God's commandments. And not only be an academic type of person, but apply it to your lives. Show others mercy. Show others forgiveness. I know sometimes that's hard. But yet, we as Christians should follow Jesus' example. And Jesus accepted all people, all the time. How do we do that with people in the world today? How do you as a Christian extend a Christ-like attitude towards people? Go ahead, Chris.
I try to realize that there are some people angry with what they're doing, but try not to, you know, be angry with them as a person. Like, be angry if, like, getting done something bad. Sin, Being with the sin, but not perfect. Right there.
Dan, anybody else have something there? Dan,
I believe Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it's kind of what he is saying is that we can't hold the same kind of standard to a non-Christian that we hold to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as we can see that and they understand that they don't understand, then that can make it easier to give them compassion and have long suffering to give them what they need to follow Christ.
Exactly. God is very compassionate to humanity, to you and I. Extend that to other people. I know sometimes that's difficult. I know that sometimes it tends to be hard, but yet the bottom line is Jesus did that. He accepted all people. That's what we have to do in our lives. As Paul had said, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That's God's gift to you and I. It's something that we as Christians should be seeking. Something that you and I should be thinking about in our daily work of life. We study the Gospels, Harmonic Gospels, and we could look at Jesus' life in a snapshot. And we don't have all the details that the apostles had experienced. We just have a little snippet of what Jesus' life was that the Holy Spirit wanted to share with you and I. But if you just imagine what Jesus did, how he treated people, that's what he expects Christians to do. That's what he expects you and I to do in this world. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we realize that we don't make the grade. But we should be striving in our lives to do that. Yes.
I can see all kinds of examples of Christ, like with the lady at the well, I believe. He knew that she was a sinner, but look at the way that he treated her. And through questioning, and then was able to identify who he was so that she could choose
that
she wanted to.
And that's a very big point. People in the world today have to choose whether to be right with God or right with the world. And a lot of people accept the world in their ways. We as Christians should accept God's way. And the way we do that, and we'll talk a little bit about this tonight in Walking with Jesus, in the lesson I prepared. It's up to you and I to look at God's word. Look at his message. We have to walk with Jesus in our lives today. And by God's grace and mercy, we can gain salvation. So what is the outcome of God's mercy in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7? Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
But God being rich in mercy, because his great love with which you loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
Thank you very much, Kirsten. So God's is rich in mercy. And he loves us. Why does he love us?
For his children.
We're his children. What else?
Why he created everything that he created was because
exactly. He created us in his image. And he expects us to listen. He's given us a free will to make a choice whether to serve him or not. He doesn't force us to worship him. But he wants you and I to accept him in a way that we're willing to follow him at all costs. And sometimes that's difficult. When we read this particular verse, man is dead in trespasses and sin. That separates him from God. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, a separation from God. But God's free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus. He has intervened in the destiny of man. He has interrupted the doom of the death and judgment. God has given us worship. In verses 4 and 5 of that passage, we see he made us alive in Christ. That is phenomenal. That is something that we as children of God should be passionate about. We're alive in Christ. We are, should be joyous. We should be happy. We should be people who love our brothers and sisters, people who live for God. And he has raised us up, you and I, in Christ. And he has seated us in the heavenly realm in Christ. And God had one great purpose, to show his riches of his grace in the ages to come. We are very fortunate as Christians. We have that to look forward to. Another verse that Paul shared with the saints at Ephesus is in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 8 through 10. Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Thank you, Vicki. It's by God's grace we have been saved. But we have to do something on our part, and that is to have faith. To believe in God's free gift. To believe in Jesus Christ. And it's, we can do all the good works in the world. That doesn't accomplish us being saved. It's by God's grace and mercy. Salvation is a free gift of God. It is by grace alone that man is saved. Man cannot do nothing without whatsoever to save himself. We need God. We need Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We can't earn it. We don't win it. We don't merit it. We don't merit salvation. It's by God giving his son on the cross so that our sins can be atoned. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. By God's grace and mercy, he shares with you and I this gift of salvation. And it's received by faith. Salvation is received by faith. Man must believe just what God says and accept his word, accept his free offer of salvation. We have that today. We have God's plan of salvation. That is offered to all people. And when man accepts the fact that God says he will save him, God takes him and creates him a new man. So, when you realize you're a sinful person and you want to get your life back right with God and accept him, he offers you and all men and women the opportunity for salvation. And that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you become a baptized individual, you emerge a new creature. You put the old self away, but yet you become a child of God. And that's the beginning of your relationship with God. That's the beginning of your relationship that you have with God. And it's up to you to continue that. We have Christians that will help you along your journey. Brothers and sisters who will encourage you, admonish you, and edify you. We can rely on our brethren. Most of all, we have to put God's word in our lives in action. We're studying Christian characteristics on Wednesday nights. And when you dig into each characteristic or each virtue, you see that we could develop more. We could increase our service to God by being better, by being the best we can. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The believer experiences two creations, both a natural birth and a spiritual birth. When you become a Christian and you are raised from the waters of baptism, you are a new person. You are a child of God. The spiritual birth is the point when a man believes in Jesus Christ, God creates him in Christ. We are created to do good works. God saved man for good works, not by good works, but he saved man to do his job here on this earth. And it's up to each and every one of us to do the best we can with the abilities we have. And the believer just shows that he is God's workmanship by the life He lives and displays, not by coming here solely on Sundays. It's important that we assemble together to worship God collectively, to offer up our prayers to Him, and to glorify Him. But when you leave this place, your life should display a righteous life in front of all people, all the time. Not when it's convenient, but yet it means a lot to be a Christian 24/7. And the works are evidence of our salvation. And people in the world see that. People in the world observe what you do as a Christian. And hopefully that's an influence that will bring those individuals to God. Does anyone have anything to add to this lesson of mercy and the grace and mercy of God? Yes, please.
You keep going back to we need to obey His commandments.
Mm-hmm.
How many commandments? I know two. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Mm-hmm.
And love your neighbor
as yourself.
As I have loved you, he says. Some people don't love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do his example, as he says, as I have loved you, you do those two commandments very simply. Everything else falls into place.
Exactly. And it's up to us to be obedient to God's word. And that's the whole point. When Jesus was here, it was amazing because they had a bunch of laws, the Mosaic law, you have to do this, you can't do this, you do this. But Jesus changed all that. And like you said, there's just two commandments. Love God with your mind, soul, and heart. And also love your neighbor as yourself. And it's sometimes it's difficult. But yeah, you have to practice it. Very good one. Anybody else?
No.
Well, thank you very much. We'll take a little break.